Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Brian Tracy. For those of you who don't know me, my wife Lisa and I have been attending Christ Church for about 2 years since we moved to Bluefield, and I'm the executive director of the Bluefield Arts and Revitalization Corporation, the nonprofit which owns the Granada Theater in downtown Bluefield. Thank you for having me back to deliver another sermon. And I'm off to a good start because, unlike the previous two times when I preached down there, I'm up here and I managed not to trip over the two steps coming up here. So it's all uphill from here, or all downhill, rather. What we learn from the gospel message that we heard in Luke and then from Acts is that first we are humbled and then our hearts are set on fire. My sermon today is about humility and the heart. Now, when I say humility, I mean the feeling that comes with being given a new perspective on one's life, a different take on one's place in the world. I'm not talking about the negative emotions associated with humiliation, of being scorned or rejected, but instead the positive feelings that come with having your heart open to something new. The words humble, an adjective, and its twin, humility, a noun, come from the Latin word humus, earth. So to be humble means to be grounded in something real. The two have nothing to do with being weak. To be humble means having a better and fuller understanding of our place in the world. So let me tell you about two stories about times when I was humbled. When Lisa and I lived in Silver Spring, I volunteered with a group that held a services for the homeless day. People who were experiencing homelessness could come and shop for clothes, see a dentist or an optometrist, get a government ID, and even a haircut. As volunteers, we were to shepherd around two or three people to the various stations. So I was waiting for one of the people I was assisting near where the barbers and beauticians were working. And another volunteer who didn't see the words volunteer on my shirt came up to me and very nicely said, "Sir, would you like a haircut?" Turns out I wasn't all that different than the homeless people I was there to help after all. I was humbled. And then more recently, just a few weeks ago, Lisa and I were staffing the gelato shop at the Granada for a youth theater group's production of The Little Mermaid. And a little girl, about 8 or 9, came in to get gelato. And for some reason, maybe because we were so busy, there were more than 400 people in the theater that night, she looked up and asked me, "How much money do you make?" Now, I wasn't sure what to say, so I said the first thing that came to mind, which is, "Not as much as you think, because despite the large crowd, we're not getting rich at the Granada." So fast forward, at intermission, the same little girl came back to buy gelato for her younger sister. After Lisa gave her the scoop of chocolate she had ordered, the little girl handed me $4, that's the price of one scoop, plus 2 quarters. Then she looked up at me and brightly said, "Keep the change." A 9-year-old had given me a 50-cent tip. I was humbled. Now, you may be wondering what these two stories and being humbled have to do with the scripture you heard from Luke and Acts, because after all, there is no mention of the words humble or humility in what we just heard. But think about what happens in each story. In both readings, the powerful words of first Jesus in Luke and then Peter in Acts must have humbled those who listened to them speak. Think of the emotions you would have felt to have heard Jesus speak directly to you. And put yourself in the crowd on the day of Pentecost. Your heart would have been made of stone for you not to have been brought to your knees in humility from hearing those two men preach. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus and the crowd on the day of Pentecost were given a different perspective on their places in the world after hearing the messages delivered by Jesus and Peter. In addition to sermons being key to what happens in these passages, both readings also feature the word heart. cardia in the biblical Greek in the New Testament. Now, we're all familiar with that word cardia from our English word, cardiologist. But as all of us well know, heart means more than the physical organ that keeps us alive. Heart has a spiritual, even metaphysical meaning. The heart is the emotional and psychological core of a person. So we hear in the words of Luke that after his resurrection, Jesus met two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, a small village near Jerusalem. We don't know why they were on this road. We don't know why Jesus was there either. But neither of those things are important. What matters is that without the two men even knowing who he was, Jesus preached to them as they walked. We hear in Luke that Jesus said, started with, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Now, we don't know any more about what Jesus said than just that. Luke doesn't tell us the details of what he preached. But imagine the power in that message. This stranger who was speaking from his heart, displaying knowledge and passion, giving them untold insights to understand what was said in the Old Testament scriptures. His words, Jesus' words, must have undoubtedly affected the two men emotionally and spiritually. Even without knowing that they were hearing from the Messiah himself, they had to be humbled by his presence, by his opening the scriptures to them. That same scripture tells us that after they recognized him, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning while he talked to us on the road? Their hearts were burning. Think about that. Other versions of this same passage help us get an even fuller understanding of what it actually means. These translations say that their hearts were set on fire. They were greatly moved. They were set ablaze. They were excited. They were strangely warm and filled with joy. Their hearts were burning. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 2. In this reading, we hear the opening statement from Paul as he preached to the gathered crowd. But Peter's Pentecost sermon, the full sermon we heard last week in the reading, in verses 15 through 35, proved using the Old Testament that Jesus was the Messiah, just as Jesus did to his disciples on the road to Emmaus. His words, Peter's, were so forceful that the writer of Acts said those in the crowd were cut to the heart. So we hear again the word heart, the same cardia in the biblical Greek found in Luke. These words from Acts, cut to the heart, make for a graphic statement, painful to visualize. What do they mean, though? Once again, other translations give us an even richer comprehension of what those words mean, of the emotions flowing through the crowd. After hearing Peter's sermon, they were said to be severely troubled, made sorrowful, remorseful, anxious and upset, guilty, very, very sorry, sick in the heart, feeling acute emotional distress, and sure they had done wrong. They were so overcome by Peter's words with all of the emotions that I just described that they shouted out, "What should we do?" Peter's response in Acts 2:38 is one of the most recognizable verses in all of the Bible. A clear statement of what is required of us to obtain salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To repent, to feel regret and sorrow, to turn back, to turn away. But from what? From sin. Now there are many different definitions subscribed to the meaning of sin. But for me, one of the most meaningful descriptions is given by the theologian Gustavo Gutierrez. Gutierrez said that sin is a breach of our friendship with God and others. A breach of our friendship with God and others. So Peter was telling those in the crowd to mend their broken relationships with God and their brothers and sisters. Peter's words had cut to their hearts. They were deeply troubled, sorrowful, feeling regret and remorse. They had been humbled. and their hearts had been opened in a new way of seeing themselves in the world. And after hearing Peter's response to their question, what should we do? The scripture says that more than 3,000 people became followers of Jesus. Their hearts, which had once been hurt, were now healed. Now burning with the same flame that had touched the two men walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. How do we heal our hearts? Jesus opened the scriptures to his two disciples on the road to Emmaus, which set their hearts burning with joy. Peter did likewise, humbling the crowd with his compelling sermon on the day of Pentecost. Now we can do the same. How? We can open this book, the Bible, and be humbled by its lessons. Jesus' message in this book is the same message that he gave on the road to Emmaus. It's the same message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. We have this message here today. Jesus' message can pierce our hearts. This book's words can ignite the dying members in our physical and spiritual lives. Now, we are given only the name of one of the men traveling with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas. Was the other man of lesser stature? Was his name lost to history by the time the book of Luke was written? Or did the writers of Luke want us to see ourselves in that unnamed disciple? Are we that other person walking with Jesus? I think perhaps so. Put yourself in the sandals of that unknown person, that unnamed disciple, and walk with Jesus. And as you travel with Jesus on that road, listen to his words once again, just as that disciple did so many years ago. Ask Jesus, just as the crowd asked Peter, what should I do? And you'll find the answers in this book. So open it, be humble, and feel the fire burning in your heart again. Amen.